Hello and welcome to the Closeted Soul podcast. In this podcast, we dive deep into the spiritual and esoteric side to the world. I was an atheist for most of my life, and in being an atheist, I cut myself off from source and the magical side to the universe. In reconnecting to my soul, spirit, and purpose, I was able to completely transform my life, and now I want to help you do the same. It's now my mission to help you utilize the spiritual world to cultivate self-love, self-trust, and self-understanding in order to then better navigate this physical world around us. So join me on this journey of insane self-discovery and let's learn and grow in both the spiritual and physical world together. Hello to all my fellow weirdos out there who are just as much obsessed with the spiritual world as I am. Welcome to or welcome back to the Closeted Soul podcast. How is everybody going? I feel like the month of June has just been so intense for so many people. I'm friends with so many spiritual people right now, and I feel like everyone's just kind of shedding off old layers of themselves and really working on reshaping the mind, letting go of limiting beliefs, and working through our shadows. So it's really just this month of healing. In the soul teacher course that I'm doing with Nikki Novo, right now we're actually doing healing. So we're learning how to actually perform healing. So we're all performing healings on each other. And it's a lot. I'm not going to lie. It's a lot. A lot has been coming up. I've definitely been going through it. But I know that it's all for my best benefit. I know that this work is just me getting ready to step into the next version of myself, this up-leveled version of me, and I am excited for it. Not to say that the work is not hard though. I'm trying to actually reframe how I talk about the work. I don't want to sit there and just be like, it's really, really difficult to do the work, because I think that that's a limiting belief in itself. And I really want to start saying it's actually easy to heal and it's easy to do the work. I feel like, you know, if I just change my perspective, it could just make the process a lot easier to deal with. So let's try that, shall we? I actually purchased this self-hypnosis because a lot of the work this month for me has just been to step more into self-love, really, really take that seriously. So I'm just practicing radical self-love. I purchased this self-hypnosis thing that I found on YouTube. So it's from, the website's like www.selfhypnosis.com, I think. And they do different ones for different things, but I found one for self-esteem. And I'm like, I definitely need that right now. So I'll let you know how that is going. I did start it a while ago and then I stopped, but now I'm getting back into it and really just trying to reprogram my subconscious mind, because ultimately the subconscious mind is how we attract our reality and our universe. So if there are things showing up in your reality that you don't like about yourself, that you're not like, I'm loving this, that make you mad, frustrated, whatever it might be, then there's something to look at there. There's something that needs reprogramming. And for me, this month I had been attracting situations that were just showing me how much I lacked in my own self-worth and self-love. So once I became conscious of that, now I can actually start putting in steps like using affirmations and, you know, self-hypnosis type things and healings to actually step into this version of myself that I want to become. This version of me that loves everything about me, that celebrates all of my accomplishments, all of my wins, all of my learnings, teachings, all of my learnings, all of the things that I learned, all of the things that I learned. Wow, Shinglish is real. Yeah, so I hope that you enjoyed that little update. I think I want to update you guys on where I'm at, because I want to stay connected and I want to be as open and honest as I possibly can be with you guys. I hope that you've been enjoying the conversations. I have been. I'm learning so much through them. I feel like each conversation, I'm just taking away so much and I'm up-leveling to this next version of myself that I want to become. And I hope that it's really helping to expand your consciousness. I hope that you're learning a lot through the conversations as well. It's super inspiring to talk to like-minded souls around the world. And I really believe that we all just have a lot to learn from each other. So let's work together and learn, right? This week, I have the lovely Ali on the podcast. Ali and I connected at the start of my journey, really. She's just been someone that I haven't lost contact with. She lives in the UK. She has a little girl named Amelia. She's so cute. And she just talks about mummy empowerment. And she has now transitioned into the space of life coaching. So I'm excited for you guys to hear her speak today, hear what she's got to say. She is a beautiful, beautiful soul. It's really funny. After this episode, she looked up her human design because we got talking about human design, and she sent me her body graph so I can help her kind of decipher her chart. And it was really funny because I realized why we get along so well. We're literally the same exact person, which is so funny. Her human design is literally the same as me. We're both manifesting generators, and we both have the same centers defined and undefined. So it's really funny. That's why we get along so well. We're literally the same. We're the same person. I feel like she's my sister up in the UK. So it's really, really funny. As always, if you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to give it a rate and review on iTunes. It just helps the podcast grow and reach more people. And I would so, so, so appreciate it. Also, if you're wanting to reach out to both myself and Ali, we are most active on the gram, Instagram. That's where it's at. So definitely contact us through there. We would love to chat with you guys, love to hear what you got from the episode. If you feel called to share the episode, please do. And don't forget to share it with friends if you feel like that they could benefit from listening to this episode. I think that's everything I have to say. I love and appreciate you all so, so, so much. Thank you so much for your ongoing support and your just listening every week. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I so appreciate you, sending you so much love and light, and I hope that you enjoy the conversation. So without further ado, let's invite Ali to the podcast. Hi, Ali, and welcome to the Closeted Soul podcast. Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to be here today. We've just sat here talking, so it's really awkward that I'm like introducing you right now.
No, I love it. It's absolutely fine.
I am excited to get into it, but before we actually do, I would love it if you could introduce yourself to the listeners and just explain a little into what it is you do.
So my name is Ellie. I'm extremely passionate about empowerment, female empowerment, especially when it comes to mums. I just feel like, so let me just get into it. I've always been extremely passionate about the law of attraction. But for the longest time, it didn't actually click for me until I went to San Francisco Gardens by the Bay. If you haven't been there, I would highly recommend it. I just feel like when I watched that light show, the whole universe shifted for me and it all just clicked into place. And all of a sudden, I had like the memories of law of attraction that I believed in, but now like the practice of it, it all just fit together. So since then, I've been extremely passionate about manifestation, mindset. I'm nonstop talking about it. But when I had Amelia, my baby girl, she's actually a toddler now. So she's 17 months. And when I had her, everything changed. So you mums out there, you'll know what I'm talking about. Obviously, it's the absolute best thing in the world, but it's also the most challenging, especially on your mental health. So yeah, that's where I'm very passionate now. So I've obviously started my new journey into women empowerment. I'm training to be a life coach right now, which I'm really excited about. And yeah.
How exciting.
Yeah, it's all going to be about mummy mindset. That's going to be my focus because that's what I'm passionate about.
Oh, I love that so much, Ali. Congratulations. I knew that you were embarking on a new adventure and you were like plugging it a little bit on your socials. And I was like, I wonder what it is. But that is so you. That is so you.
Isn't it? I just feel it aligns with who I am. I actually wanted to do this a year and a half ago. I started looking into it and, you know, there's always, you've always got that fear factor overshadowing all of your decisions, and you think, oh, you find excuses, you know, now's not the right time, you know, financially or whatever else. And literally just last week, I was like, what am I waiting for? I can't keep making excuses. This is my passion, and I have to just dive in head first.
I can't wait to unpack that further, which we will. But before I do, I don't actually know if you've come out of the spiritual closet yet. So I'm going to, I usually ask all my guests, when did you first come out of the spiritual closet? But you just explained that law of attraction story. But law of attraction, you can, it could be really, really spiritual or it could be not so spiritual. So how far have you taken it?
I feel like I am somewhere in the middle. So I have my spiritual side. I'm very into it. But at the same time, I've got my practical side. So I like to put both together. I fully, fully believe in the law of attraction and my angel numbers and my spirit guides. I'm really, really into that. But I feel like it's a way of guiding me into the action that I need to take. That's how I view things. But I've always been very open about it. Literally, when I first read The Secret, we've all read that book, right?
I watched the movie. I didn't read it.
You didn't read the book? Oh my goodness. Someone actually passed me the book. They were like, you have to read this. So I read it. This is when it all started for me. I was like, oh my goodness, I absolutely love this. Everything about this is exactly me. And I remember I would be like in my car, stuck in traffic, and I would be trying to apply the techniques in the from The Secret. And it just wasn't working for me. And that's what I mean when I say it was like I had this first version of me that fully believed in the law of attraction, but it wouldn't click with me. And that was years ago. Honestly, I can't even remember how long ago that was. But when we went traveling and we went to San Francisco, that for me was my moment.
So from there, did you start practicing the law of attraction like regularly in your life? After the San Francisco trip?
Do you know what? Initially, so I was a little bit, I was like walking back. It honestly, in that moment, it was literally like an awakening. And I remember walking back from Gardens by the Bay to our hotel. And I was just like, oh my goodness. I was like, something has just happened. Chris must have thought I'd completely lost the plot. But I was like, no, something has just happened. I feel so aligned all of a sudden. At first I was confused because I wasn't actually sure what had happened. But the more I sort of ventured into it, the more things started to make sense. I only really started properly practicing in the last like maybe year. So it was very casual before.
Wow, that's so cool. You know what you're making me think of? I just had this interview. It hasn't been put out yet, but it actually will be at the time of people listening to this episode. But it was the one that I did with Anna, and she was telling me, like, she's really spiritual, but she was telling me that, like, when you go to certain parts of the globe, it's like activations, and like your soul like had a contract to go to that part of the globe to be activated in something or other. So that's really cool. It's kind of like you had to go to San Francisco so you could have that awakening, you know.
If I ever go off track, I always remind myself of how I felt at Gardens by the Bay, and I'm like, oh, in Gardens by the Bay, like this is how things was for me back then.
I love that. No, I love that you do that. There's so much I want to unpack there. I'm like, whoa, I don't know where to like start. So I guess I want to start with how honest and real you are. I love how you really explain the good and the bad from motherhood, and you're really funny. So I really enjoy listening to your stories. Even though I'm not a mum myself, actually explained this story already on the podcast, but I did have a moment where I did get to experience motherhood, and it was when my mum had to travel to Turkey for most of the year because her mum was passing away. So I had responsibility over my little sister. Now, she was in prep at this point, so maybe like 4 or 5, and my stepdad was working all day. While I was still young, I was still very like mature for my age. So I was like, you know, driving her to school, getting her ready, going on the school trips with her, you know, when she'd come home, like get her washed, make sure she had her lunch. It was just everything became, and it was like a shock, right? Because everything became about this little girl, like, you know, and I loved her so much. And I was like, oh my God, like, you know, I would give up my life for her because I loved her so, so, so much. But it was kind of like, I remember this one moment that I was in the laundry, and it was like she had fallen asleep, and I just like looked at what my life had become ever since, you know, taking responsibility of like the mum. And I was like, just broke down into tears. I couldn't contain it. I was like, oh my God. And it was just feeling of like completely losing yourself. It wasn't about you anymore. It was about this little life that you had to look after. And I was like, it was a massive eye opener for me. And ever since then, I have massive respect to all mothers of the world. And I just think they're all like superheroes. Honestly, I'm just like, that was one. And I was like, oh my God. And it wasn't even for a long time. It was like for like little bits of the year. And it was really hard. So it can be beautiful, but it's also very hard. So I love that you talk about the ups and the downs, because I think in the online world, that can really be misconstrued.
I think people live in fear to speak about the negatives for fear of being judged. But I also think it's unhealthy for people to constantly speak about the good side of motherhood, because that's when the comparison sets in, especially as a new mum. When I had Amelia, when she experienced all of her firsts, or when she wasn't experiencing firsts or things like that, you definitely compare to all of the perfect babies on Instagram. So that's definitely hard as well. There's definitely pros and cons, but I do think it's important for everyone to speak about the whole story where they can.
Absolutely, I agree. And I know it's hard. So that's why I applaud you for doing that, because you're right, there's that comparison. Artists, everyone has different opinions, especially when it comes to parenting children. I know that it can be a hard industry to speak out on. So the fact that you do it, and you do it in such a relatable way. So I wanted to applaud you on that. And I think that that's a beautiful quality to have. And I think more people like you need to be on Instagram.
Thank you.
I would love to know, though, I told you that I did go on a little bit of a stalk last night of your Instagram.
Absolutely. Who doesn't?
I know, right? I was flicking through and I saw that when you had Amelia, you could see on your personal Instagram like the actual shift that happened within you. You know how you said like everything kind of changed? I would love to know what your motherhood journey looked like. You know, what happened when you had Amelia, and then how did that shift into this like now mindset work and mindset development?
So when I had Amelia, obviously everything changes. I know not everyone experiences this. Everybody is obviously completely different. And obviously there is no right or wrong way. But when I had Amelia, the second she was handed to me, sorry, that was my cat just leaving. So the second that she was handed to me, I just had this huge amount of love for her. Like everything else just disappears, because all of a sudden the only thing that matters is your baby. So I experienced that. I was very fortunate in that in the newborn stage specifically, I didn't experience any mental health concerns or dips or anything like that. I didn't have any postnatal depression. I had a very happy and positive newborn bubble. So I feel like, yeah, bubble is the best way to explain it, because there were no real other feelings. It was just all love and excitement and enjoyment. And then when things started getting a little bit tough, obviously by this point, lockdown had been introduced. At first, obviously, it was all fun and games, but it became very lonely. Even though you have your baby with you, it's hard to explain. But when you're a mum, you understand that. You understand the loneliness. So it can be very lonely and isolating. She also wasn't sleeping through the night. That was a big shift for me. I really struggled with that phase. Well, she still doesn't sleep, but when it first started happening, like, she would literally have like half an hour sometimes. So I really struggled with that, and that started to have an effect on my mental health. I don't know if I suffered with postnatal depression then. I don't know if it was just sleep deprivation. I don't know what it was. But I really did go through a patch where I struggled with my mental health, and I feel like it was a journey. I really had to uncover who I was again, because I feel like if I had stayed as just mum, I feel like I don't know how I would have got myself out of that place. So I feel like that's when my real journey into mindset and really uncovering who I am and working on myself, that's when that began. I feel like you can sort of become a person before having children, but I feel like when you have children, you become a new person. Obviously it's a journey, but even when you're uncovering, you know, you're trying to get back to who you once were, it's not who you once were. It's a new person entirely. It's actually, you know, it's the 2.0 version.
I love that you made that distinction between the two, because I think, yeah, how can you go back to the same person that you were? Like, you're so different now, even just going through the experience of, you know, having a life to look after now, having your own, you know, child. So I like that you are just rediscovering the new version of you. So that sounds like a really tough experience, because I didn't even think about, wow, like, you're a new mom. And then you're going through lockdown as well. I didn't even like put two and two together. So
that was so tough.
That would have been. I'm so glad to hear that you guys are just starting to come out of isolation now, and you guys are really getting to see your family again, your friends again, and just enjoy the days. So hopefully it stays like that for you guys.
It's actually so surreal.
I could imagine.
Yeah, I hope so.
What are some of your tips on staying on top of your mindset, especially when you may have had a rough day?
So in terms of having a rough day, I like to have a list of things that I know are going to get me back on track. So in order to work this out, because I know it may sound silly, but when you're having a rough day, you might not even necessarily pick up on it. I mean, you're aware that you're in a bit of a bad mood, but it's sometimes you don't connect the dots and think, oh, I better do something about this. Now, we've actually spoken about this before, but I play a game called the F It Happy Game.
It's a good game.
And it's incredible. It's basically where when you start your day, first of all, you just give yourself a scale. You rate yourself between 1 to 10, how happy am I today? And obviously the aim is to be at 10. So you rate yourself, and then as you progress through the day, you can revisit those ratings and ask yourself again, you know, what's my rating? And obviously you want to try and stay level or increase. You don't really want to decrease. So if you decrease, you need to ask myself, okay, what's happened? Why have I decreased? And how can I pick that number back up? And I feel like putting that fun factor on it suddenly makes you more inclined to actually get out of your funk and do something about it, compared to just ignoring your mood and sitting on the sofa. So for me, a big thing is dancing. I'm not a dancer, but if I'm having a bad day, like whether I'm with Amelia or not, the music is going on and I'm dancing around the kitchen, I'm singing, I'm just honestly just enjoying myself. And it literally, within 30 seconds, I'd say, I'm like, that's it now. I'm great. I'm in a great mood. So that's my biggest thing for getting out of a rough day or a rough moment. In terms of trying to prevent those days, for me, it's all about the morning ritual. I feel like that is the most sacred time of my day. And when I don't get my morning ritual, I don't know if I'm like manifesting a bad day, but it just feels like I'm not as aligned. I'm sure you'll understand that.
No, I completely know what you mean. I feel like I have not had a proper ritual in the longest time, and I just feel off, like my energy feels off, mm-hmm. and I need my ritual mm-hmm. back. And I keep telling myself, okay, you're going to get up and you're going to do this, but then things happen. And sometimes I'll get the ritual in and I'll be like, oh my God, this is what I need. I need to just continue to do this. And then, yeah, absolutely. It's just, it's so easy to kind of, I think once you fall out of habit, it's hard to get back into habit. So that's where I'm at the moment, really trying to get back into habit. But I love your advice on the rating.
Yes.
What do you call it? The effort?
It's the fuck it happy game. I wasn't sure if I was allowed to swear.
Absolutely, you're allowed to. The fuck it happy game. I love it because I started to do that when you actually told me about that, because Ali and I we've been talking ever since the start of this journey. So we don't shut up really. I don't know how we have more to say. She was telling me about this game and I was like, I started to actually implement it in my day. And I was like, okay, like it really, really helps, because then when you realize that you're dropping or you're not in the best mood, you'll be like, okay, well, what's going to get me into a good mood? And I love that you dance. I practice gratitude. Sometimes I'll be like, okay, well, what am I grateful for about today? Like, what's happened today that I'm so grateful for? And even that just elevates your mood. So I think that's an awesome game. Honestly, I think all mums are superheroes. I think the fact, like all mums who follow, I think all mums are superheroes, first of all, but especially mums like you who, you know, you're a mum and you also follow your passions and you have this like online business and you're just doing all the things that you love. I think that that is so admirable and it blows my mind because I struggle to keep on top of things and I don't have a baby to look after as well. So the fact that you have that and you're still doing all of the things, like, you seriously blow my mind and it's incredible. But I would love it if you could share some tips to help mums out there actually start pursuing their passions and the things that they want to actually cultivate. Because I think a lot of mums, and you touched on this a little earlier, but a lot of mums can fall into this trap of not feeling like they can pursue their dreams, like it's selfish to pursue their dreams or to put attention into anything other than their children. So I think... yeah, I love that you speak on this as well. So I'd love to get your perspective on this and any tips that you can offer maybe mums who want to actually start pursuing their passion projects or the business or whatever it might be.
Okay, so my biggest piece of advice is if you're thinking that you want to go for something, whether you want to be a business owner or you want to pursue a passion project or just try something new, you just want a bit of me time, my biggest piece of advice is just to go for it, first of all. Let go of that fear and, you know, push yourself out of your comfort zone and just go for it, because you literally have nothing to lose. I would also say that if you do want to do something else and you're worried that maybe you feel like you can't because you're a mum or, you know, whatever else, just remember that happy mum, happy baby. I feel like when we don't do things for ourselves, we can really sort of spiral and get into a negative frame of mind because you're not doing anything for yourself and your life becomes a chore. I don't want to say that being a mum is a chore. I absolutely love my days with Amelia, but I love the fact that I have my snippets of time in the day for me to be a businesswoman without having to go to work. I've obviously created this life that works for me, that I enjoy, where I feel like I'm getting to be a business woman. I'm getting to pursue a career whilst also being at home, being a mummy, which is just the greatest. So yeah, I think my real piece of advice, just go for it.
It's incredible.
So I will elaborate on that and just say that if you've got things that you want to do, start by just spending 15 minutes a day looking into it, researching it. Every single day, 15 minutes, watch a video on YouTube, read a book, listen to a podcast, journal about it. If you do 15 minutes every single day, it adds up and all of a sudden you're actually taking action and doing it.
That's a really good tip. I like that advice. I would love to know, because it could be so simple, right? Because you're like, step into the fear, just do it, just step into the fear. But yeah, that can just be so paralyzing and that can really just keep you like small and stagnant. And it was like that for me, right? When you have fear and you have all of these limiting beliefs stopping you, you know, hearing just do it, just step into it can be like, but I can't because of all of these things. So what, like, because I know for me, it got to this point where I was like, there's nothing more you can wait for now. Either you just like sit in this misery and like you just don't do what you're passionate about, or you actually step into the fear and you start like, you know, you just step into the unknown and you see what happens, right? Mm-hmm. It got to a point where it was like, how are you going to change your life? Like for me, it was like a boiling point and I just had no choice but to just make that shift and that change. What was it for you? I'd be curious to know.
So actually very similar to you, the actual shift from point A to point B was what is going to give me the most pain here? Because I feel like it's very easy to feel like the fear scenario is going to be the most painful, because I feel like our brains are sort of wired to avoid pain and fear versus actually like taking the plunge and growing, maybe like taking a risk. I actually find that when fear surrounds something, so if you're fearful for something, usually it's a good sign, I find. And a good tip actually is to think about the best case scenario versus the worst case scenario. I feel like when you write that out on paper, all of a sudden you're like, why am I not doing this?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And a lot of the time, like the worst case scenario is like judgment from others or being afraid of what other people are going to think of you. And that just got me, like when I used to do that with myself, because I did those things as well when I was trying to step out of my comfort zone, I was like, am I really just living my life because I'm scared that somebody is going to think a certain way about me? Like, really? I'm going to let somebody's opinion or perspective really like control my life that much? Like, the amount of stories I created in my head, and I'm like, no, like this life is for me. And if somebody's going to, like, people are always going to judge you, regardless of if you go after what you want or if you don't go after what you want. So I say, give them something to talk about.
The thing is, as well, we have no control over what someone else might think about what we're doing. It's how we choose to react to that situation.
Exactly.
I feel like previously I would react to that in a negative light. You know, why doesn't that person like me, or why doesn't that person agree with what I'm doing? Whereas now I just think, who cares?
It's true. It's so true. It doesn't matter. Who cares? And often if somebody's getting triggered by something that you are pursuing or you want to do for yourself, it's because they're not pursuing the things that they want to do for themselves. Or, you know, you're most likely triggering them in some way, shape or form if they do have something to say. But I like that you brought it back to the point of you can't control that. Like, you can't control the outcome of you stepping into your passion project. Regardless of what happens, there's always growth. If you're stepping into discomfort and fear, there is always growth, regardless of if it's a good outcome or if it's a bad outcome, you know, there is always growth. Any decision that I've made that I've put myself out of my comfort zone, I've learned something from it, regardless of if it was positive or if it was negative. So I love that you also mentioned that, because you said if there's fear, that's kind of like a good sign. It's like a sign that you should actually go towards that. Which is so true, because that's what I do now. So I'm like, okay, what am I scared of? I'm scared of this, or I'm just going to do it. And I just find myself just doing it no matter how scared I am. And I don't even think about it anymore. Are you like that?
I'm trying to be. I actually have been making more and more decisions. The more I practice stepping into fear, the more I find myself just doing it. I have a couple of areas I'm still hesitant around. For instance, going live on social media. I have a real problem with going live. I don't know what the issue is, but...
I actually feel the same, and I force myself to do it. I think I've been on two lives now. Three or four. Because that was the thing that was stopping me as well. The whole concept that you couldn't like be like, oh, sorry, guys, I've stuffed up. Now we're going to have to go on live, Ali.
Yes. Do you know what? I would actually love to do that. And actually, funny you should say that. On my new page, the She Empower page for women empowerment, obviously that's just brand new, but something that I want to do is have, I don't know how regular, weekly, monthly, not sure, but I'd like to almost have like an interview setting, a live session where it's a conversation, much like this one, but obviously questions are being asked. And, you know, obviously all be centered around mindset, empowerment, similar to this, but also obviously I want to speak with a lot of mums in business. So yeah, that's something that I would love to do with you.
I think that's a great idea, doing the lives on Instagram. I think that's a great way to put yourself out of your comfort zone. There's obviously growth there. And I think that that would be really, really interesting and empowering. And you're very, very easy to talk to and have a conversation with. So I see that going very, very well for you. I think you should absolutely do that. I love how mindful you are about parenting Amelia. I think that our parents can be our greatest influence, but also our biggest triggers in this life. My own experience with my parents were that they were very, very negative, and growing up that influenced me dramatically. And I always had this like negative view on life. So I think, you know, it's really important to be mindful of how we talk to our kids, because they do take on, you know, our traits and the way that we think, because you're their greatest influence, especially when they're in this like stage of life. I think they say when a child is between the ages of, was it 1 to 7? They're absorbing and they're just taking in, their minds are being shaped. So I think it's really important to speak out on. And obviously you're only human. Like, you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. It is what it is. And it's going to happen to everyone. But on the good days, I would love to know, what are some of the things that you do to help shape Amelia's mind?
So first of all, I feel like for me, when I started learning about my own limiting beliefs, that's when I started to become more aware of how I was speaking, not only with Amelia, but also around Amelia. I like to show her my rituals, first of all. So I'm not hiding away when I'm meditating, when I'm doing my affirmations. I like her to see all of that, first of all. It's also the language in which I speak around her. So making sure that if she does something that I'm proud of, making sure that I say things like, you should be so proud of yourself. And, you know, I know she's so young, she's literally 17 months, but I feel like the sooner I put that into her, the better. I am really aware of wanting her to have the best start in life. Obviously, like you say, there's only so much I can control. and I am only human, not a perfect day every day. But yes, I do like to be mindful as much as possible in how I'm speaking to her, how I'm raising her, you know, making sure she knows that she's worthy, beautiful, you know, just making sure she knows that she has a choice in life. I don't want her to feel like she has to follow a set path. And I feel like I show her that by taking that journey myself.
How beautiful. Like, yeah, giving those things to yourself really gives that back to Amelia. And it's true, like, how our parents think and feel about themselves are things and beliefs that we carry ourselves. So I think it's beautiful that you're mindful of that and you try to do that to the best of your ability every day.
Obviously, as well, there are times when, you know, maybe she's having a tantrum over whatever reason. And, you know, a previous version of me might have been you know, I might have reacted negatively in that situation. You know, what an inconvenience that my toddler is having a tantrum. But how I am now, you know, being more mindful, 95% of the time, shall we say, I really like to just think, you know, this isn't her fault. She's not acting up. She's not doing this on purpose. There is a reason. She feels uncomfortable. She's cold. She's whatever. So it's being mindful that she's a human. I feel like it's very easy because they're babies and then toddlers, obviously we're mothering them. It's very easy to forget that they are their own human. I find that that in itself helps me to be more mindful.
That's a really good perspective to have. And it would be very hard to do that while your toddler is having a tantrum. So I could imagine when my little sister, because I basically help bring her up, so it's like the best example I can think of. But when she would do that, I would lose my cool very easily. And I'd just be like, oh my God, like, yeah, I would fall into, oh my God, what an inconvenience. And I could imagine like how different I would be now, being more aware of my responses and, you know, why she's showing such extreme emotion. And I read this not long ago, but it's actually really important to let the child or the toddler have the tantrum and get it out of them, like their body, and actually feel the emotions and express how they feel. Because when you're trying to make them not feel the thing, it's like, it's a version of suppression, right? It's like teaching them to, no, you can't feel that. You have to like suppress it. You shouldn't be crying right now. You have to suppress it. And then that can lead to problems in the future as well.
I feel like every single action can lead to, you know, mental health issues or what have you. And that's, I just feel like because I personally have suffered with my mental health in the past, I'm very passionate about making sure I don't have that effect on her.
No, I agree. I think it's the fact that when you go on this like self-development journey, you realize that a lot of your problems actually stem from childhood. And, you know, some of these things can be avoided if you just like teach a toddler how to express their emotions and that it's okay to express their emotions. Like, just things like that. They're simple things. It's not to say that, you know, then your child's going to grow up and they're not going to have any problems. Of course, like you're going to go through life, there are going to be their own triggers. But as long as like we can be mindful about doing our best during this stage of life, you know, if you're going to bring another human into the world, I think talking about these sorts of things and being mindful about parenting like this is very important, especially if you are a conscious human and, you know, you've had an awakening or whatever. You know, it's really, I think, important to the things that you're doing for yourself to also do them for your child as they're growing up. I would love to know what some of your favorite self-care practices are.
Do you know what? My favorite self-care practice is actually to have a bath, and I don't have a bath in my house.
Really?
It's actually tragic. So what I do now is, and this is kind of a little bit pathetic actually, because I guess that's just mum life at its finest. But self-care for me now is literally having a steamy shower. So, you know, lights off, candles on, spa music playing. That's an absolute essential. Really hot water, and we are fortunate that we do have a very nice shower, and yeah, I just take my time in there. So, you know, I'll sit down, I will, you know, I might even put a meditation on whilst I'm in the shower. I like to do my skincare. For me, my skincare is part of my ritual. Obviously I was never into skincare before, but now it's such a huge part of my life that it has become part of my ritual. But other than that, dancing, podcasts, reading. But yeah, self-care sadly is few and far between. I don't get so much time to myself.
I love that. I think baths are the best thing for self-care. But I like that you create and you make do with what you have. Like a shower in itself is so relaxing. And when you are taking your time and you're washing your hair, I don't put spa music on. I put like a waterfall music on when I do it. Thank you for sharing that with us. Now, you've mentioned a couple of books and podcasts. I would love to know, what are your favorite podcasts or books or whatever you can recommend that's helped shape your mindset over the years?
Okay, so one of the, obviously The Secret, first of all, but one of the key books that I actually read was the newer version, so The Greatest Secret. That book is incredible. I feel like The Secret is great for law of attraction and manifestation, but I feel like The Greatest Secret is about being more aware. I feel like it is slightly more spiritual than the original, The Secret. So those books are great. I also love The Miracle Morning. I know that's not particularly, manifestation or what have you, but The Miracle Morning for me is when I started my morning ritual. That book I highly recommend. In terms of podcasts, my favorite podcast is called Empower Her. I don't know if you've heard of that one. It is literally female empowerment. So she does pep talks and I just think it's great. That's my kind of vibe. I love to start my day with a podcast. Once I've done, everything else, I like to finish off with a podcast to get me into, a motivated frame of mind.
I love a podcast as well. It's a big part of my self-care routine, like just to dive deep into a podcast or a topic that I'm interested in. So I completely agree. I haven't checked out that podcast, so I need to. That sounds really, really good. And The Greatest Secret, I need to check that out. I have so many books I need to watch. You don't watch a book. No, you read a book. I have so many books that I really want to read. And I have like this list that's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and I have to get around to all of them.
I highly recommend that you listen to The Greatest Secret on Audible, just because it's got the soundtrack to it. And honestly, I used to listen to that and just be like, oh my goodness, yes.
I need to. I'm in the middle of reading Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. Have you heard of it? It's really interesting. So when I'm done with that, I'll have to move on to The Greatest Secret.
You'll have to send me that book.
Thank you so much for sharing on all of that. I thought that was such an interesting conversation. I love your perspective and I'm so excited to see where your new journey takes you. I'm so inspired. Where can people find you? Where can people follow you and work with you?
Yes, thank you so much. I've absolutely loved doing this with you today. So I have two Instagram accounts now. That's probably the best way to find me. So if you want to see more of my motherhood journey and just personal life, my Instagram is Ellie I Harris, Ellie I Harris. And I also have just recently launched my new Instagram, which is all things women empowerment, specifically aimed at mums in business or mums who want to, get their power back and pursue their passion. But I'm not, I want all women to come and just join the community, because that's what I've always wanted to do. That account is She Empower Mindset. I would absolutely love to see some new faces over there.
Well, thank you so much again. It's been so fun doing this with you. I hope that you have a lovely rest of your night, because it's nighttime over there.
Thank you so much. I've absolutely loved this.
If you enjoyed today's episode and you feel inspired to rate and review the podcast in iTunes, it would mean the world to me. Also, if you are wanting to connect with me on a more intimate platform, you can find me on Instagram at Closeted Soul. I would love to hear from you. Finally, you can learn a little bit more about me and this space just by visiting my website at www.closetedsoul.com.